San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan as our next California governor.
We are not seeing the level of urgency and accountability from our leaders in Sacramento that we need.
Rent is getting cheaper in LA, but why are people still moving away?
We're still among the least affordable places in the United States, and so people are looking elsewhere.
Will growing plants on walls stop taggers from vandalizing our city?
Caltrans crews have bolted artificial IV to retaining walls aimed at hiding graffiti.
Hello, 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 and welcome back, locals. I'm your host, Demetrius Chavez Rose, and I thank you for tuning in to the LA Local for Thursday, January 29th, 2026, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. Now, locally, we've got a lot going on. But first, from the Bay Area's San Jose. With still about 4 months to prepare for California's primary election in June, the current mayor of San Jose, Matt Mahan, announced he's running to be the next California governor.
Safety, a reduction in crime, an end to unsheltered homelessness, treatment and accountability around addiction, and removing the barriers to building the housing we need for future generations to be able to thrive in California. We are not seeing the level of urgency and accountability from our leaders in Sacramento that we need.
Mahan wrote on X, "We can do better because we're proving it in San Jose." Our Alex Silverman spoke with Mayor Mahan about how exactly he plans to take California's housing crisis head on.
Every politician in California seems to now say we want to cut red tape to get housing built, but why does it seem so difficult to get done?
Because you have various interests that don't want change. I mean, the reason that these rules and processes get built up over time is all very well intended. You know, the environmental groups lobby for certain regulations that in a vacuum sound good and make sense. But when you add them all up, they have a really detrimental effect. The historic preservationists, you know, they argue for the strictest possible interpretation of historical preservation. And then the community advocates want the longest, most involved community engagement processes. And then and then you have organized labor that wants, of course, the best, you know, the most protections, the most coverage, the most work rules. All of these things on their own are actually very well intended. They're trying to solve a very specific problem. But in trying to solve all the specific narrow problems, we've created a massive problem, which is that we can't afford to build housing. So we're going to have to work with everybody and get everybody around a table and say, look, certain things are not as important as building homes for people to live in. And we're going to have to right size our regulation. We have been doing that in San Jose, and it's working. Projects are getting underway, and the state's going to have to do that too.
Speaking of the housing crisis, local LA renters are finally seeing light at the end of the tunnel with a recent 4% drop in rents across the LA metro area. But Angelenos are still choosing the high road to live in other states. Our Emily Valdez spoke with USC's Richard Green about why.
We completed more housing in LA County in 2024 than we have in a really long time. We finished about 28,000 units, made them available.
I also noticed that in this last year, in the last 5 years, according to the California Department of Finance, we've lost 107,000 people. This last year alone, we've lost 28,000 people.
Sort of rent pressure reached a point people couldn't afford it. We're still among the least affordable places in the United States. And so people are looking elsewhere where they can consume more housing for less money.
Despite the 28,000 newly built apartment complexes you've seen popping up everywhere, nearly 30,000 locals have still left, causing vacancy rates to soar. And honestly, I don't blame them. Have you seen LA lately? It's looking a little grim around here, with graffiti on our street signs, the infamous graffiti towers downtown. Graffiti has literally become a part of our city's skyline. With the World Cup and Olympics on the horizon, transportation officials are trying a new tactic to combat downtown's graffiti crisis. Our Natalie Tavidi reports from the Ivy Wall along the 101.
Along a stretch of the 101 here known as the slot, Caltrans crews have bolted artificial IV to retaining walls aimed at hiding graffiti before international visitors arrive for the FIFA World Cup this summer and then the 2028 Olympics. The area actually once featured murals from the 1984 games now largely covered in spray paint.
I think it harms the image of the city a little bit, you know, just because you associate tagging with, you know, I guess, crime and whatnot.
By the time it's the Olympic and FIFA, it will be yellow. It won't be green. So either you repaint it in another color.
Okay. So what's your reaction to seeing that as a way to deter tagging?
You know, you leave a Canva, they will find another wall. They had towers.
The wall's intact for now, but a lot of people here doubt it'll stay that way. Here's the interesting part. A Caltrans-backed UC Davis study from years ago actually found that evergreen ivy worked surprisingly well at stopping graffiti with very few incidents over decades. The question now, whether artificial ivy holds the same way, especially in one of LA's most tagged stretches of freeway.
I couldn't agree more that oftentimes graffiti is associated with a crime-ridden city. And if artificial vines aren't a permanent solution, at least we're off to a solid start for change. I mean, crime of all sorts is rampant everywhere, even all the way in Hawaii, where a Hawaiian scammer has been sentenced to 4 years in prison for defrauding an Irvine man for all of his money. So bad that he's now living without a condo and his yacht. Here's John Baird with more.
Senior citizens are often targeted by scammers, and this victim was 79 years old. Prosecutors say 42-year-old John McCabe of Hawaii first talked the victim into letting him handle the sale of his yacht, but then used phony documents to transfer ownership of the boat to himself and then diverted the sale proceeds into his own bank accounts. Next, authorities say McCabe talked the victim into transferring his million-dollar Irvine condominium into an LLC he controlled, claiming it would protect the property and provide tax benefits. But instead, court records show that McCabe took out $1 million in loans on the condo, draining all of the equity without the victim's knowledge. Officials say he spent almost all of the money, and the condo went into foreclosure, leaving the victim homeless. McCabe was sentenced to 4 years behind bars in order to pay more than $1.8 million in restitution, but that's money that is long gone.
Artificial intelligence has been supporting scammers in their mischief, making it easier for them to defraud millions from college financial aid, FAFSA, because AI can quickly create identity information and disguise a scammer as being a real student. This has become a rampant issue for California community colleges.
Let's say you have a young son or daughter, right? Middle school, maybe they're in high school, and they've never even begun the process. When they pull credit and when they apply, there's some people are saying, whoa, these are loans we never even took out. And it's a real problem because AI can make it super easy to create partially fake or completely fake identities.
They're called ghost students, and scammers have been doing this for a while now. Good news is that the federal government and colleges are taking steps to stop this. ABC News says Cerritos College installed new vetting systems and live verification to ensure they're dealing with real people. The LA Community College District says it's doing the same. Now, to take your attention back to downtown LA, where our Karen Adams participated in the LA Public Library's 100th anniversary, which featured the unveiling of a time capsule that has been buried since 1926, uncovering some mind-blowing historical artifacts.
Getting to the time capsule embedded in the iconic building wasn't easy.
The biggest challenge was the fact that they never put out instructions or gave a plan for how we were supposed to get it out.
The library's Todd LaRue was charged with retrieving the capsule.
The cornerstone itself, which contained the capsule, is a protected historic feature of this landmark building. So we couldn't risk damaging that. So our only recourse really was to go from the other side of the wall, which happens to be a men's restroom.
But once they got to it and pried the copper box open, there were coins, newspapers, including in Spanish, German, and French, a library directory, and yet another time capsule from 1881 from the LA Normal School, now the site of the public library, inside a memento from President James Garfield's funeral after his assassination, the library's John Szabo.
It put goosebumps on my arms when we opened that up. From the first puncture into the lid because it was welded shut completely. We got our flashlights out and peeked in. That material has survived in that box through a world war and through all of the events of the last century. So it was really, really exciting. And being a complete history nerd, I leaned my head into the box and breathed in the air from, you know, from 1925. Like, it was a little musty, but it was okay. Yeah.
You can see the time capsules for yourself and enjoy a year-long slate of events as the library celebrates 100 years.
And to keep the history lesson going, I challenge you to a real easy test of your local knowledge before you go. Do you know what the Hollywood sign used to look like before a portion of it was torn down in the 1940s? Did the letters used to read Hollywood Los Angeles or Hollywood Land? If you said Hollywood Land, you're a true LA local. You are totally right. Our beloved Hollywood sign used to have four extra letters that read Hollywood Land, which was a massive real estate development that was constructed throughout the 1920s. And that's all I've got for you, my fellow locals. Thank you again for tuning in to my edition of the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. This is Denitris Chavez-Rose, and I encourage you to stay cool and stay local.